Anyway, so good to be with you this morning, all the way from Bancroft. And I really appreciated that song, God Will Take Care of You. What a blessing to know that particular truth this morning. And so good to see that there are so many who've been able to join us this morning. And just by means of prayer, by way of prayer, I think many of us are aware that there are many assemblies, many churches where folks are coming online in ways like this, or on YouTube or whatever, and sharing the Word of God. And may we truly pray God's blessing on the ministry of His Word and just various churches and various assemblies. And I think that there are some perhaps who are not being able to connect, and we need to all the more reach out to them and to pray for them as well. But it's good to be with you this morning, and I'd like to ask you to read with me in the book of Genesis, and we're going to go to Genesis chapter 5 this morning and verse 21. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, and then we'll have a reading in chapter 6 and also a reading in chapter 13. Genesis 5 and verse 21 says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then to chapter 6 and verse 5, Genesis 6 and verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And then let's go, please, to Genesis 13. Genesis 13 and verse 14. Genesis 13 and verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Father, this morning, as we open the Word of God together, we just ask that you would indeed guide and direct our hearts, that you'd speak to us, that these very truths that are written in your holy Word might minister to our hearts this morning, and perhaps some might be listening later on this afternoon or even tomorrow. Father, we pray that the words of Scripture might impact our hearts, that we might hear your voice and we might respond in faith in the way that you want us to. For we ask all of these things, Father, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. There were two men who were reportedly trying to get a piece of furniture through a doorway. And they worked at this for quite some time, one on either end of that piece of furniture, trying to move it. And as they did so, they found they weren't getting anywhere at all. And so they had a bit of a consultation and tried to figure out what the problem was. And that's when they realized that they'd both actually been pulling from opposite directions. And no wonder they weren't getting anywhere. Well, it's a lot easier when people work together, isn't it? It's a lot easier when two work along together. And a question that we need to be asking ourselves really is this. Are we pulling, or rather going in the same direction as the Lord, or are we more or less in a tug of war with him for control of our lives? Are we really allowing him to really lead in our lives? God asks us the question in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, God first put that question to the nation of Israel because they were not walking in fellowship and in harmony with God. And We find, of course, that they suffered the consequences for it. But it's a question that we need to ask ourselves as well. Am I really walking in agreement with God? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, as we think about the subject of walking this morning, or walking with God, we find that there are actually 383 different verses in the Bible that have the word walk or walked or walking in them. And the vast majority of them are referring to, probably 95% of them refer to that subject or that topic of walking in harmony with God, or walking according to the Word of God. Incidentally, there's 100 of those verses that occur in the New Testament. And we're going to look this morning at three men who did just that. They walked with God. And the first one that we consider this morning is Enoch. And as we think about Enoch, we find that he's an interesting character. The first of these men that we find walked with God. We read in Genesis 5 and verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. Well, we know that as we look at the biblical record, that Enoch is the seventh from Adam. That is, in a generational way, as you start from Adam, and you count Adam as the first, and you go on down the line, his son and his son and his son, you come down to Methuselah. There were other, Enoch, rather. And there were other descendants, certainly. But as we follow that line, we find that Enoch was the seventh. And actually, we find that in that line that they lived considerably long lives, about 900 years, actually. And we find that Enoch, we're told, lived for 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. And then as a result of that birth of his son, there was something that happened in the heart of Enoch. And I can't say what it was that prompted Enoch to think this way, but from that point on, from the birth of his son Methuselah, Enoch decided something. He decided to walk with God. He decided to walk in agreement with God. After he begot Methuselah, we read, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Well, that's a long time to walk. I don't know. I'm trying just to walk 30 minutes each day, and I'm not even very successful with that. But can you imagine walking for 300 years? And that's exactly what Enoch did. He walked with God. In other words, he walked in obedience to him. He walked by going the same direction that God wanted him to go. He walked by faith in him and in harmony with him. And so he stayed very, very close to living and walking along with God. I really believe that someone who is walking with God is someone who's listening to God, and someone who is loving God, and someone who's learning from God, and someone who's leaning on God, and looking to God, and living for God, and someone who's loyal to God. And so we find that Enoch walked with God, and it was a decision that Enoch made from the time that his son was born, and he continued to walk for 300 years. We're told in verse 23, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Well, it sounds like a long time for us. And we marvel at anyone who reaches 100 years of age, and we celebrate that. Enoch lived for 365 years. And yet, in relative terms, when we think of his generation and we think of those who had come before him, his ancestors, he lived a rather brief life, about a third of the period of time, or a little more than a third of the period of time that others had lived. Actually, of Enoch's line, his predecessors, going all the way back to Adam, the only one in that line who died before Enoch lived reached 365 years was Adam himself. He was the only one who had passed away. All the others were still alive when Enoch was 365 years old. But we read that Enoch lived and walked, and he lived to the age of 365 years. And then we have that emphasized again in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. And I really believe it's emphasized for us so that we might understand that what God wants of us more than anything else is really to walk with him. What God honors and what God delights in more than anything else is that we would walk in harmony and in fellowship with him. I think it's marvelous when we think about Adam and Eve as they had sinned against a holy God. And although God was very much aware of their sin, and even though that sin had not yet been confessed, yet God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and he said to Adam, "Adam, where are you?" And fortunately, Adam and Eve, they tried to hide themselves. And that is the reaction, really, of so many today, that when God comes toward us and he asks us, "Where are you? I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have that interaction with you." Then we find that so many try to hide. But the Bible tells us in John, 1 John 1 and verse 7, we have fellowship with one another. That is, we have fellowship with the living God. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You understand and realize this morning that when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we enter into fellowship with the living God. And now we are able to walk with that same God, even as Enoch did. And so as we think of Enoch, and as we think of that verse in Amos, can two walk together unless they are agreed? We realize that Enoch was in agreement with God about his life. When God said to Enoch, "Enoch, I see that sin in your life and it has to be dealt with," then Enoch was willing to agree with him. When God could say, "Enoch, I want you to go this direction, I want you to walk this path," then Enoch was willing to agree with him. When God would show him his will, Enoch would obey. And that is exactly what it is to walk with God. Well, we read that Enoch walked with God, and he walked 365 years. And then all of a sudden, there was this miraculous event that took place. We read, "And he was not, for God took him." And literally, it means God snatched him away. Literally, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it means God snatched him away. God took possession of him. He was there one moment, and he was gone the next. He absolutely disappeared from sight. And we realize, of course, that it was the Lord himself who took him on home to glory. I think it's interesting that as Enoch walked with God, he discovered the presence of God. And he discovered the joy of being in the presence of God. And then God literally snatched him home into his presence to be with him forevermore. You know, that is the hope of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we ever wonder about and ever maybe even doubt the rapture, we have an example that occurred in the Old Testament in the very early ages. And it was when Enoch was snatched home. The Bible tells us, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17, "We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." What a hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord would want us to discover what Enoch discovered. And the Lord would want us to decide what Enoch decided, that we want to walk in harmony with God and in fellowship with him, that we would know the forgiveness of God, and then we would walk in harmony with him day after day after day. It's kind of hard being shut inside, isn't it? And I am so thankful that I'm able to have my wife with me, and we are able to interact with one another, and we are getting along pretty well together. But as I think of so many who are maybe by themselves, and it can't be very, very easy. And certainly for every one of us, we are missing the connection that we have with one another in a very real physical way. And we're missing the connection that we have with our families. But I want to encourage you this morning that there is one in whose presence you are, and God wants us to discover his presence and to walk daily in that presence. May we discover God's presence as Enoch did. While our second individual is Noah. And Noah was an individual who lived not so very long after Enoch. And we read about his record in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And as we read about the record, we read about the wicked deeds of man. We read that the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Are we living in evil days? Absolutely. And even worse than a coronavirus is the wickedness of the heart of man. And really what God sees when he looks at the world, when he looked at the world back then, and as he looks at it today, and at every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Doesn't that describe mankind by and large today? And we're reminded in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7 that the Lord looks at the heart. Well, as God looks at the world, what does he see? Well, he sees hearts and he sees the wickedness of man, and God sees all of that, and it certainly grieves the heart of God. But then we read concerning Noah in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I wonder if you ever really stopped to think about that verse. What does that mean? That for some reason, God just picked out Noah and decided, well, I think I'm going to do a special work in him. Did he just look at Noah and say, well, I think I've decided that I'm going to just show favor toward Enoch, and so he's the one I've selected out of all of the world? I don't think it's really so much that as that Noah found grace, and he found grace because he trusted the living God. My understanding of God's grace and our experience of it is due to God revealing himself to us and man responding to him. We read in Psalm 145, verse 20, the Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. And I'm sure you know that verse in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You see, God reveals his truth to us, and it's our responsibility as he offers his grace to us to put our faith and our trust in him. And I'd like to say that in a very real way, Noah was already rescued before he ever got into the ark, that because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and then God had a special purpose for him. You'll notice as we read about Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, as we come into verse 9, that we read, this is the genealogy of Noah. Or if you will, this is the family record of Noah. And what follows isn't who his sons were, but what follows is his character. And I believe what the word of God is saying to us is this. This is the family record of Noah. This is what Noah is remembered for. Noah was a just man. Noah was, that is, a righteous man. Noah walked right before God. He was perfect in all of his generations. That is, he was blameless, and he walked with integrity. And then we read, Noah walked with God. I think that's really, really interesting. I think the grace of God was offered to Noah as it was very probably to every other man and woman and child. And Noah responded in faith to that living God. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then we see the outflowing of that. We see the fact that he was righteous. We realize that in his generation and before the world that he lived in and before he ever got into the ark, that he walked blameless before God. He was a testimony and he was a witness, and he walked with God. Interesting, isn't it, that while the rest of the world was going one direction, Noah was going altogether the other direction. He was going in the direction of God. And I'd like to suggest that as we think of Noah, certainly we can think of the work that he did, and certainly we can think of the protection that he experienced. But I'd like to think that if Enoch reminds us of the fact that as he walked with God, he discovered the presence of God, I'd like to think that as we think of Noah, as he walked with God, he discovered the purposes of God. Noah trusted God, he found God's grace, and then God told him the work that he had to do, and he discovered the purpose for his life. You know, as we commit ourselves to the Lord, as we're shut in our homes, and you might be wondering, what can I do? I realize some of you are very, very busy. You're busy with your work and working online and figuring all those things out. It's a very, very hectic time. I'd like to encourage you to continue to walk with God. And I'd like to encourage you to discover daily the presence of God. And that comes through taking time alone with the Lord in the Word of God and in prayer. We need to learn the presence of God. And as we do so, and as we trust him, and as we walk with him, we discover his purpose for our life. There are all kinds of things that we can be doing in our homes. There are all kinds of things that we can do as far as furthering our knowledge of the Lord, of encouraging others in the Lord, of being a witness and a testimony for the Lord, of doing an unseen work, either that others can't see, but doing it for the Lord. And as we walk with him, we will indeed discover God's purposes for us. And we realize, of course, that for Noah, it was a real blessing to him and for his family as well. And then we read, finally, of Abram. And we read in Genesis 13 of Abram, and we read in verse 14, Genesis 13 and verse 14, "And the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him." Well, at this point in Abram's life, we realize that at the age of 75, he'd left his homeland. Quite a thing to do. And he literally walked out the door, and God said, "I'll show you the direction that I want you to go, and you're going to come to the new land that I'm going to give to your family." And there he was. As he came there, we realize that after a period of time, that his nephew separated from him. And although he had servants with him, we realize that in a very real way, he was really quite alone. He had his wife, certainly, but he had no offspring. And he was the only one to whom God had given these promises. And yet we find that after Abram, or rather Lot, separates from him, God says to him, "Abram, I want to tell you something." He says, "Abram, lift your eyes now. Lift your eyes and look." And I think that's interesting, because Abram could have been looking at the sorry state that he was in, or he could be looking at unfulfilled promises as far as he could see, or he could be looking at the fact that he had no son, or the fact that his nephew had separated from him, that he'd left his homeland as he was living in a tent and so on. But God says to him, "Abram, lift your eyes." And we are to lift our eyes to the Lord, aren't we? And look to the Lord, from whom our help comes. "Lift your eyes now," he says, "and look from the place where you are." Where are you this morning? And wherever you are, and wherever you are physically, and wherever you are health-wise, and wherever you are financially, and wherever you are, most importantly, spiritually, you can look from where you are. And God says to Abram, "I want you to look northward. I want you to look southward, eastward, and westward." He says, "I want you to look all around you, every direction. I want you to see the blessings of God." You see, what he did is this. He showed him God his promises. He said, "For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered." He said, "Look at the land, Abram. I want you to look at it." And of course, as Abram could look at it, he could say, "Well, it's not ours yet. It's not even mine yet." But God said, "Abram, I want you to look at it all. And I want you to look ahead to what I have for you. I have descendants ahead for you. I have a land for your descendants as well. I want you to look at it and see." You know, there are so many future blessings for us and promises which relate to the future for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this life, we can find ourselves very much alone. We might find ourselves very much discouraged. We might even feel somewhat depressed. But in our circumstances that we are, the Lord would want us to lift our eyes and discover the promises of God. Walking with God means discovering God's promises. And God said to him, I don't want you to just look at what I'm going to give to you. But he says, what I want you to do is I actually want you to walk through the land. He says in verse 17, arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. And so Abram was invited to walk through the land as though it was already his, and as although it already belonged to his family, because the promises of God are sure. The promises that he makes to us today for the future are sure. The promises he makes to us today for today are sure as well. And as Abram could walk through that land, he could discover that landscape, and he could be reminded of all of God's blessings toward him, all that he was promising. Oh, but how much more the believer has to discover as well. You know, as we walk through this life, God wants us to walk, as it were, and see as he sees. That's what God was inviting Abram to do. He says, as far as I'm concerned, Abram, this is your land, and it belongs to your family. I want you to go through there, and I want you to walk in faith. And that's exactly what we're to do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only looking to the promises of tomorrow, but walking in the promises of today. Well, what are they? Well, I will never leave you nor forsake you, he says. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And he says, and if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there are promises after promises after promises. We find that he says to us that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he tells us that even when there's just two or three of us gathered together, or even when we're all alone, that when we cry out to him, that he hears our prayers. There are so many blessings for the believer to enjoy. And so the Lord would say to us in a way this morning, lift up your eyes from where you are. And I want you to look north, south, east, west. I want you to see as far as you can see. And I want you to look even beyond that, as it were. And I want you to walk in the promises. I want you to live in the promises of God this morning. Well, are we doing that? We need to take God at his word. And we need to be trusting him. And the very first step in our journey of walking with him is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There are many boxes or screens, as it were, on my screen this morning. The video is turned off, every one of them, and the audio is turned off as well. But as I look, I see this morning that there are many who are tuned in, and I certainly don't necessarily know every one of you, but I want to ask you this morning, as the Lord knows who you are, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you realize that the one who died on the cross for your sins today offers eternal life and offers fellowship with you? And so we need to come to him, trust him as our Savior, the one who died for our sins and rose again. And he says that whoever believes in him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in Christ, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you trusted Christ Jesus to save you from your sins and to give you a future in heaven and to come into your life and to walk with you every step along the way? I want to tell you this morning, God is there in your life if you know him as a believer, and he is there and wants to walk with you. The question is this: are we walking in harmony with him? If we're saved, are we walking with him? Are we walking like Enoch did, so close to heaven and experiencing and enjoying his presence, that we're really, as it were, just a breath away from heaven itself? Oh, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that if we were walking in such close harmony with God and living in his presence, that, you know, it wouldn't seem to be much of a change in a way to just be snatched into his presence for all of eternity. God wants us to walk daily in his presence. Are we walking like Noah did, so devotedly to the Lord in such a corrupt age? And even though we might be all alone, yet we're walking with him and we're discovering God's purpose for our life. And there's purpose in these times and as you are shut in your home. And then are we living like Abram? We might be feeling alone, but God has so much that he's promised to us, walking in the promises of God, living daily by his promises. And so we have Enoch walking in the presence of God, snatched into God's presence. We have Noah walking in the purposes of God and fulfilling God's purpose for his life, and Abram walking in the promises of God. And we see the tremendous blessings in his life and also upon those who came after him as well. May we learn from them, and may we not be involved in a tug of war. In reality, we so often are, aren't we? May we not be in a tug of war with the Lord Jesus, with the living God, but may we commit ourselves to him and trust him and surrender to him and decide that we're going to walk with him. I think of that song that was written so many years ago, a little more than 100 years ago now. Charles A. Miles in 1913 wrote these words: "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses." And many of you know the chorus, don't you? "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." I used to kind of stumble over that last line. What do you mean nobody else has ever known that? We see, nobody has ever known the relationship that I have with the Lord, because the relationship that I have with the Lord, or that you have with the Lord as you discover him, is unique in itself. The joy that we share as we tarry there, you know, it's unique, isn't it? None other has ever known. May we discover the presence of the Lord. May we discover his purpose for our lives. May we walk daily in his promises as we walk in close harmony with him. May we come to him today and surrender our lives in faith to him. May we trust him, walk with him, and obey him, opening his word and praying daily to him. May this time, as we are shut in, be a real blessing to us as the Lord teaches us to walk closer to him. Shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your wonderful blessings and your grace to us. You are such a good God. You're such a loving God. You're such a gracious God. And we realize that you're a giving God and that you gave your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And we thank you this morning that eternal life is freely offered to each one who will put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus. And maybe somebody this morning, somebody listening in right now, is aware of their need of trusting Jesus Christ. And we pray that even right now, they'd open up their heart's door and invite Jesus Christ in to cleanse them and to save them, to make them, to bring them into harmony with him. And Father, those of us who are saved, thank you for saving us. We pray your encouragement in our lives. We pray your strength and your help. But Father, we realize that we know those things personally as we commit ourselves to walking with you. Thank you that your presence is always there. Thank you, Lord, that you always have a purpose for us. Thank you, Lord, that your promises are always there. May we avail ourselves of all of that in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray and give you thanks.